remembered the clicker. Good morning. If you're visiting today, my name's Pete Townsend. And as you heard from Brian, this week we are looking at part two of a two-part series on the book of Habakkuk. Is there anyone here that read the book of Habakkuk during the week after my first session last week? Oh, there's a few hands there. Oh, very good. I'm excited. No. I have it on good authority from my wife, who took the time to read the book of Habakkuk and then check the commentaries, that what I'm sharing with you today is scripturally factual. Last week I shared that my point of difference is that it was going to be a short service. Today, however, it's a little bit longer, so I'm going to have to rely on my charm and humour to get us through. Last week we covered chapter 1, and this week we've got two chapters to go, 38 verses. So if you haven't read the book of Habakkuk recently, follow along in your Bibles, because I won't be covering every single one of those verses. And so I encourage you afterwards to have a read of the whole book and see what the Lord says to you in that book. I'll take this moment now actually just to share my bias of the Bible. And Carla's looking at me because I'm going off script. I want to share with you that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That when we read the Old Testament, we are reading historical stories about Israel and their relationship with God. But I also believe that every book in the Bible is pointing to Jesus. And finally, I believe that every scripture in the Bible speaks to us personally, and that it matters today, not just 4,000 years ago. So, let's get started. Oh, there we go. It went blank on me. Excellent. The book of Habakkuk. An overview of what I shared last week, in case you missed it. Habakkuk was written in the 6th or 7th century BC. It has been suggested that I forgot to say BC last week. So just to be clear, BC. So a long, long, long time ago. Habakkuk, who I'm now going to call Hab, because that's easier, was one of the 12 minor prophets. This book is a bit different to a lot of the other books written by prophets. Many times the prophets were speaking on behalf of God to the Israelites, warning them where they had gone wrong, where they were sinning, and to come back to God. But here we have Hab complaining to God, and then we see God's response. And Hab was, in the first chapter, complaining about Israel, about the leaders, how they were corrupt, how there was injustice and violence everywhere. And God responds, and he tells God, you're not doing anything about this. But God responds and says, I am doing something. You're not going to like it. I'm sending the Babylonians, who are far more evil, far more violent. God was right. Hab didn't like it. So he complained again, this time calling on God's sovereignty, reminding him of his promises to his people, saying, surely you won't wipe us out. At the end of the service last week, we left Hab on the watchtower, waiting for God's second response. So today, before we get into the book of Habakkuk, I'd like to just read this scripture from Isaiah, chapter 30, verses 18 and 19. And now I shall put my glasses on. There we go. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion, you who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. I suggest that when Hab was writing or saying to the Lord, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. He was thinking of the writings from Isaiah 100 years earlier. But let's move on and let's see what the Lord's response is. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2, the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. So, firstly, we see God saying, write this plainly on tablets. Make the message easy to share so that it can be shared with others. This vision that Hab received is for a future time. So remember, in this time when Habakkuk was complaining to God, there was the violence, there was the injustice. They weren't following the Torah, the people of Israel. And God's solution was to send the Babylonians, who were far more evil. But this vision is not only for the Babylonians, it's for a future time. It describes the end. And God calls us to wait patiently, for surely it will take place. He goes on in verse 4 and 5. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many peoples. So here God is saying, he's comparing the righteous, those who are faithful to God, with the proud and the arrogant, pointing at the Babylonians and their treachery, but also future nations that will be disrupting Israel. So I'll just say here, as I said at the start, the scriptures tell a story of that time. It's also pointing to Jesus, but it also is speaking to us today. And so I encourage you just to search your heart. Are there areas in your heart where pride is running amok? Where there may be some arrogance within you? I encourage you, humble yourself before God. Be righteous, faithful to God. The next part that I'd like to look at in chapter 2, God brings up five woes. The first one, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. That was verse 6. In verse 8, because you have plundered many nations, The people who are left will plunder you. Woe to him, in verse 9, who builds his house by unjust gain. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe 3, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and let your nakedness be exposed. Oh, another woe. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life. Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. So, verses 6 to 19, those are the five woes. We've got financial extortion, unjust gains, building with bloodshed, drunkenness, idolatry. I said that right, yep. These are a warning. Woe to you, Babylon, who are corrupt, proud and arrogant. Your time will come. But as I've shared, it's also a future warning to all nations who obtain power. Power corrupts, and future ruling nations become like Babylon. So woe to them. But as I've shared also, I encourage you, examine your own heart. Pride and arrogance can creep into our day-to-day life. Woe to you if you find yourself acting like Babylon. Chapter 2 is pretty heavy, isn't it? But don't despair. We're now on to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is a prayer of encouragement. Chapter 3 is described as a psalm, a hymn. It is a song of hope. It is praise and worship. It recognizes God's faithfulness from the past, what he's already done for us. And really importantly, it looks to the future victory. But rather than me tell you about chapter 3 being a psalm, being a worship song, allow me to demonstrate it. No, I'm not going to sing. Verse 2 says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. That's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. I'm now going to ask you just to close your eyes and listen to the song that I play from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2.
Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe. The water.
So there's an example of Habakkuk chapter 3 being a worship song, a psalm. It's a war cry. We're praising our King. For me, when I just read chapter 3, it is just words on a page. And I know they're important words, but I can't imagine it as a psalm. It's just words in the Bible. When I hear someone put it to music like that, it becomes worship. It becomes praise to God. So that is what chapter 3 is. Recognizing what God has done in the past. I heard in those lyrics that he led us out of captivity. He set the captives free. It is hope and confidence for the future. They were calling on God, summon your power, show us your strength, which is another line in chapter 3. Another verse is probably the correct term to use there. As we go down through Habakkuk 3, 8 to 15 speaks of a future exodus. So setting our captives free was the original Exodus, parting the Red Sea and allowing the Israelites to escape from the Egyptians. But verses 8 to 15 speaks of a future rescue. And I'll bring you to verse 13. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. Is the anointed one Jesus? I think that it might well be. So as I said at the beginning, all stories point to Jesus. Verse 16, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity. Verse 17 goes on to say, take glasses off to read this one close by. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, even though no grapes are on the vines, and the fields lay empty and barren, and the flocks die in the fields, the cattle barns are empty. Verse 18, yet I will wait. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. That is what Habakkuk came to realize. He started in chapter 1 complaining to God, frustrated with what was going on around him. He had a good conversation with God. He wasn't happy with God's response, and so he waited for another response. And then he finishes the book with praise and rejoicing, joyful in God the Saviour and what he is coming to do. So now I get to my conclusion. Put these back on so I can read the conclusion. So last week I said, be honest with God. Hab shows us that we can have raw emotion and come before God, how we feel, who we are, as we are. Wait patiently on God. Just as Hab did, it says he climbed to the top of the watchtower and waited. And we heard that time and time again through chapter 2. To wait patiently. Be prepared. God's response may not be what you were expecting. But know, the next one is that one, so I'll go to this one. Don't be a woe. We were warned of 5 woes there. If any of those relate to you, if you're feeling it in your heart, humble yourself before God. Remember how God has rescued you in the past. And know he's got you this time. So last week I shared a personal story, and I'll do a real quick recap on that one. We started our business 20 years ago. We had no money. We owed lots of money. We prayed. We didn't know how we were going to pay those bills. And God came through and took care of it all. And yet here I am again, about to go studying, fearful that we're going to have no money. I'm going to have bills. I'm not going to know how to pay it. I have to keep reminding myself of God's come through every time for me in the past. If I hold on to that knowledge, not belief, but knowledge, that he has never let me down. He has come through for me. When I was 19, I was hopping on a plane to go to America for the first time. The day that I was leaving for the airport at 3 o'clock. At 2:30, I was $800 short for my airline ticket. At 2:35, a check arrived in the mail. And so I stopped at the bank on the way to the airport, cashed the check, and paid for my airline ticket. I have got so many stories of God coming through for me. So when I wake up in the middle of the night freaking out about the next 2 years of my life, I just have to draw on the past, on an exciting story where God has come through for me. He has got us. Yesterday, I went to Malcolm Tweed's funeral, I don't know if that's the right word, celebration of life. And his family showed a photo of his Bible from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. And that passage was underlined, ticked, writing in the margins, it said, wow. And it was clear this was how Malcolm wanted to live his life. Sitting there reading the passage, I thought, wow, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, sums up the entire book of Habakkuk. The Apostle Paul has summed up the book of Habakkuk, what took me 2 weeks, 2 sermons, and he summed it up in 1 sentence, 1 verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So I encourage you all, whatever you're going through, whatever is going on in your life, be joyful in the hope of God. Wait patiently for God to respond. and be faithful in your prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for Habakkuk. I thank you for the book that we have, that we can learn so much from. I thank you too, Lord, it's only 3 chapters. And I only skimmed the surface of what's in that amazing book. I thank you that we can come to you, Lord, with our raw emotion of whatever is going on for us and lay before you our needs and concerns. We wait patiently, Lord, for your response. The psalm in chapter 3, I have heard of your faith. I stand in awe of your deeds, reminds us of who you are, your character. Search our hearts, Lord. Show us if there is anything we need to get right with you, Lord. Help us remember how you have looked after us every step of the way. If there is any pride or arrogance, don't let us fall like Babylon. Help us humble ourselves before you so that we may be joyful in hope, patient in our afflictions, and faithful in prayer. Lord God, our hope is in you. Amen.